You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, or a nice cold one on a warm spring day hanging out on the deck. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the GM Shuffle.
Who's going to pay more for Dak than Jerry? And why would Dak leave? He's in a tax-free state. Is he going to go play for some other team, you know, that's going to sign him? Jerry's got the control of it all. I mean, Jerry's winning that one. So, like, I think what Jerry's saying is I'm not scared.
You're listening to the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. Here is Femi Abebefe.
Welcome to another edition of the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. I'm your host, Femi Abebefe. As always, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Our producer, Elliot Bowman, with us on the ones and twos. Very happy, Elliot. His Purdue Boilermakers break through the glass in the Final Four for the first time since 1980. He's trying to play it cool a little bit here. I see him behind the glass. He's playing it cool. I mean, it's an exciting moment. We said he's got to book the trip, hoping he does that as they're playing in Glendale this upcoming Saturday.
He told me he did. He told me he's got seats and everything. Because I called him. As soon as it was over, I said, you need me to help you get some seats, you know? And he's like, nah, I don't need you to help me. I got them. No big deal, you know? But I need you to get me in the Pizza Bianca over there so I could have a slice, which, you know, I mean, I recommend that strongly. It's the greatest pizza you're ever going to have. So, you know, that's what now he's dishing out. You know, he wants me to handle his restaurant reservations. You know, I'm his concierge. It's bad enough I got to be Millie's concierge. I got to be his concierge. So, you know, here we go.
I love it. He's
so
like,
I'm happy for him.
He said, I don't need help with the tickets. I need help with the reservation. I love that.
Yeah, I need get your ass going here. You know, and then, you know, if you don't do it, you get, oh, you can't get in there? Like, it's like insulting that you don't have enough clout to get in there. You know, it's like, okay, all right. You know, I mean, like, all right, I got it. We have a restaurant down here called Cafe 2825, which is, I would say, of all the restaurants, because I'm a fat guy, I've eaten a lot of restaurants, it might be one of the best Italian restaurants anywhere in the country. I put it up against anywhere. And it's not an easy get into. It's a hard place to get into. Let me put it this way. It's a well-connected place. And it's got New York and Philly connections. And so, you know, you got to know somebody to get in there. You got to be able to duke the guy going in, you know, and it's not easy. But, you know, it's like, okay, we want to go. And then, you know, you got to go get in there. And then you get insulted if you can't pull it off. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge, Femi. But that's the price we pay. And meanwhile, Elliot's just dishing out responsibilities.
Hey, well, he takes care of us, so I'm glad you're able to take care of him as well, getting that reservation over there at Pizza Bianca in the Phoenix area. But let's talk some football here, because we did see some transactions over the weekend. The biggest one, the Philadelphia Eagles trading pass rusher Hassan Reddick to the New York Jets for a conditional 2026 third-round pick. There also is the expectation that there's going to be a contract here for Reddick that will be signed, maybe an extension. I know some of the insiders are reporting that the Jets could be working on that here, but it's an interesting move. It almost feels like, to me, it's like a player-for-player swap with Huff signing with the Eagles on the first day of the free agency, and now Reddick joining the Jets as the Jets try to bolster that pass rush. That is already pretty formidable, adding another piece.
Right, and it makes you ask the question, like, why didn't the Jets just sign Huff? Like, why didn't the Jets just give what they're going to – now, look, I understand Riddick started a lot more games and Huff's only started 7 games, yada, yada, all that, and he was more situational. But for me, my question is, if I'm the Jets, why wouldn't I have just – I mean, everybody in the league knew with a week before the tampering time that there was a probability, a high probability – that the Eagles were going to sign him. I mean, they were the strong player in it. They weren't going Danielle Hunter. They were going Huff. Okay, so we knew that, and so was other teams. I mean, and they were going to win that. So if I'm Joe Douglas, why wouldn't I have just franchised him, and then try to sign him to a long-term deal? Because I'm not getting any discount on the Riddick contract. They're going to redo Riddick's deal. The Eagles are paying $1 million that's already been paid. And the Eagles pick up a pick that they would have never gotten for just cutting Riddick, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they end up getting something really good. Now it's 2 years down the road. It's in 2026. But I think the Eagles really did a hell of a job. They used Riddick's money to get Huff. And then they used Riddick to get a compensatory pick, which they probably weren't going to get because they put all this money into Huff and Barkley. So yeah. It's a pretty smart play for Philly. And again, the Ifers, who we call the Jets here at the GM Shuffle, the Ifers are telling us, look, we're going all in. I mean, this is the pressures on the Ifers, right? They got to stay healthy and they got to play good. And the only thing I will say about the Ifers, which goes towards their favor, is that I don't think the East is as good as it once was, including Buffalo. Like, if there's a time to win the East, I think it is. Now, Buffalo still has the great Josh Allen. I think Miami's been weakened by their offseason. I think New England's going to have to improve their offseason, right? Mm-hmm. And so those two teams, if you're the Jets, I think the door is open for them. I really do, if they can stay healthy. And that's a huge if.
Yeah, that's the whole ifers thing right there. And I think if you're the New York Jets, you sort of have to go all in. You went all in when you went ahead and signed Aaron Rodgers. So, like, this is – or I guess traded for Aaron Rodgers, excuse me. Like this is what you've been building towards here. And, yeah, you kind of blew last season because Rodgers gets hurt on the fourth play of the season. Not much you can do there. That's just really bad luck. But now you don't have that much time. Rodgers, he's turning 41 in December. Like, it's now or never for this to ever work. And I'm sure Robert Saleh and the general manager, Joe Douglas, are feeling the pressure of, hey, like, we only got but so much time here. Like, we can't continue to have, oh, the offense didn't work out, this and that. Like, we got to produce. Otherwise, we're going to be looking for other jobs after this season. Like, they realize the urgency that is behind this season here, and they know that they can't mess around. So I guess they got to hope that all of these guys, if Tyron Smith can stay healthy, if Mike Williams can stay healthy, that it all works out in 2024.
Yeah, because the person that comes in to clean up the mess, I mean, what the Jets are doing, what the Ifers are doing, is what we call situational values, right? So there's always two kind of decisions you have to make, whether they're situational based on the current situation or sustainable values. You know, this goes back to how will this impact us a year down the road? What will happen if we do this? What will hear? You know, and the Ifers are basically saying, no, forget sustainable. We've been trying that program. We're going to go situational based on what we need to fix the problem today. Mm-hmm. And look, Riddick gives them a good player. There's no denying it. Riddick's been productive. There's been, obviously, the Eagles didn't feel like he was measuring up to what they wanted. They felt their pass rush, having 60 sacks 2 years ago, 60 of their 70 coming from their front, has diminished, and Riddick wasn't the same guy, and they feel like Huff is an upgrade. So, again, it goes back to why didn't the Jets see Huff as an upgrade over Riddick? See, I think, to me, the Jets are catching up. They're not being proactive. But, again, if they can stay healthy, you know, which I don't see how they can, but I think you got to go back to this, right? Like, I'm not sure the East is as good as everybody as they were last year. I don't think Buffalo's going to be the same team. They've suffered a lot of injury. They suffered a lot of people, losses. You know, Miami, we still haven't seen the Tua contract, which is coming. We know it is, but they're still not the same team. Where are they going to be defensively? Anthony Weaver taking over as a defense coordinator with Joe Barry opens the door. And then New England. So if there ever was a perfect opportunity, here it is.
Huff is interesting because he seemed like he was more of a situational pass rusher for the New York Jets. Do you think that he can, I guess, evolve into being an every down player, or do you think the Eagles are going to still use him in the similar role of, hey, like on second, third down, let's just have him go get the quarterback. We don't need him to be the every down, like setting the edge to stop the run type of guy.
I think he's a little bit more than just an edge rusher. Like, I think Nolan Smith is an undersized edge rusher. I think Nolan Smith, if he has to play all the time, people are going to run the ball at him. I think Huff plays with one-step explosiveness, and I think he's going to be harder to block. I think I'm not saying they should play him 70 plays, but I think when the question really is against 11 personnel, can Huff hold out against weak side runs? Can he hold up against a tackle blocking him? And I think he'll be fine in their scheme. I think Vic's smart enough to know how to use him in that area, whereas I think Nolan Smith would have trouble if he was on the edge of a defense and there was a and there's an opportunity to run the ball right at him. I think that would be the difference. But I think this is a – look, I think Philly's improved themselves with their edge pressure. Now, they got to get those tackles to play better. Mm-hmm. You know, they got to get Carter to play like a first-round pick. They got to get Davis to be in shape. That's all going to come all down to that. But – yeah, I think he's more than just an edge rusher. I don't think he's situational. And they paid him. Look, when you pay somebody $17 million, you're not paying them to be a situational player. You're paying them to be a player.
Yeah, and Bryce Huff, he turns 26 later this month, so he's still a player who could be ascending versus Hassan Reddick, who he turns 30 later on this season here. So maybe the Eagles felt that Reddick has sort of met the ceiling of his abilities and Huff continued to ascend, and that gives him a little bit of young legs on that pass rush department there. One of the reasons why the Jets, though, did this move to get Hassan Reddick was because they missed out on Jadeveon Clowney, who ended up signing with the Carolina Panthers. Clowney signed 2 years, $20 million, max value of $24 million. We said on the podcast, we thought Clowney was going to sign a little bit later on in the offseason, once we're going to get past the OTAs, the minicamp, and all that stuff. But apparently Clowney liked this deal enough, and he gets to go close to home, where he grew up in South Carolina, now in North Carolina with the Panthers. And the Panthers sort of, I guess, replace Brian Burns, who they already traded to the New York Giants.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is one of those where you're praying. You're on your knees praying that the guy you signed is going to be the guy you're watching on tape. And that's always a challenge because of, you know, the age and the injury history with Clowney. But I've never been a true Clowney fan because of the injuries. But last year, he was by far his best season. Now, they played from in front, right? Mm-hmm. They had a lead on teams. He could really go after the quarterback. He and Van Noy ended up with 19, almost 20 sacks between the two of them. Really effective in what they did. But again, they're playing from in front. You know, whereas Brian Burns was playing from behind last year. Brian Burns goes to the Giants. Is he going to play from in front? It's all about, you know, there's really only one guy that can rush the passer all the time that plays from behind, and that's T.J. Watt, right? He does it as well as anybody. But this is going to be the key. Can he stay healthy? It's a risk for Carolina, but I think the money clearly was too great to pass up. He had to take it. It's close to home. I think he got a payday when he – I don't think he was expecting the payday. I got to be honest with you, Femi. I think last year was his best year by far in his career. And at, you know, at his age, at 30 years old, soon to be 31, I think you got to take the money. I mean, he played all 17 games. The last time he did that was 2017 when we had 16 games. That was the last time, and he got 9.5 sacks. And so he got 9.5 sacks this year. If he continues, it's a great deal. But again, Carolina's building something a little bit in sections here. We'll see what the long-term future holds.
Do you like what they've done so far this offseason? I know we're coming up against the break, but do you like overall? I know that they don't have the draft capital since they moved up for Bryce Young last year, but have you been at least pleased by the Panthers this offseason?
Well, I mean, I think, look, a lot of it's going to come down to the quarterback, right? I think a lot of it comes down to the quarterback. Can he do what he needs to do in terms of can he operate with Dave Canales? I think, you know, defensively, I thought they had suffered some losses defensively, especially I thought Luvu was going to be a good player for them. They've got a lot of moving parts in there. They bring a lot of guys that are familiar with his defense. So it gives some continuity within that. And he's a good coach. So I think that could help them, but we'll see.
All right, let's take a break. The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds, and so much more. As the first round continues on, you can bet sides, totals, player props, everything at your disposal over on DraftKings. All you have to do, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SHUFFLE. New customers, bet $5 $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SHUFFLE only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott. It sounds like both Prescott and the Cowboys are comfortable going into the final year of this four-year contract. Dak has the no trade clause and the no franchise tag clause, which means in 2025, he could be an unrestricted, or he will be an unrestricted free agent unless they come to some sort of an extension between now and next March. And I think from a team building standpoint, I think this is a really interesting conversation because for the Cowboys, they seem comfortable doing it. Dak seems comfortable betting on himself. He's done that in the past. Is this just they're going to eventually get something done, or could this actually be Cowboys, Dak Prescott heading towards a divorce similar to what we saw with the Vikings and Kirk Cousins?
Well, I think the difference here is Kirk Cousins, the Vikings weren't players in that market, right? The Vikings were going to be a player, but they weren't going to be that player. And so that opened the door for Atlanta. Nobody really wants to change teams. No quarterback wants to change teams. Daniel Jones would not have changed teams. I mean, I know there was a fear by the Giant front office. Oh, we're going to lose him. Who was going to steal him, right? Who was going to steal him? Who's going to overpay Dak? Who's going to pay more for Dak than Jerry? And why would Dak leave? He's in a tax-free state. Is he going to go play for some other team, you know, that's going to sign him? Jerry's got the control of it all, right? You go to California and play for, I don't know, play at 13% tax rate, come to the Giants at the Jersey tax rate. I mean, Jerry's winning that one. So, like, I think what Jerry's saying is I'm not scared. Like, he's a star quarterback on the Dallas Cowboys, and we've paid him a lot of money. Who's going to beat our offer? And if you beat our offer, what's the tax implication of it, right? What are you going to do? He knows where he is. He knows how he plays within the system. He had by far, and you can go through it all. He had by far his best season in terms of accuracy. I know this is not real understandable to most people because we lost Kellen Moore, and he was the greatest coach of any quarterback you could have. But in 22 with Kellen Moore, Dak was inaccurate 17.2%. He had bad throws 17.3% of the time. He also was on target 76.3% of the time. Last year, Dak was only had bad throws 11.7% of the time. That's a significant decline. It's the best year he's ever had in his career. And he was on target 82.6%, which was the best of his career. So, like, if you're Jerry and you're 32 years old, because this is when this deal would come up, are you really want to leave? Are you really going to leave? I mean, is it you're going to chase every last dollar when this could happen? I think it's a no story. I really do. I think it's a no story. What the story is to me isn't that they're not going to sign him. Is the story is they're going to let him on their cap for $55 million. And they're going to really just work around the cap number between him and Lawrence. They take up $75 million of cap room this year. And then Lamb's on for $15 million. That's $90 million of the cap in three players. So they're becoming the Rams in a sense where they're going to be very top heavy. Can they win that way? I don't see it. I don't see it. You know me, but the Rams did it. So everybody can cling to the Rams and say, you know, this is kind of what we want to do and this is how it's all going to work out. I'm not sure that's always the case. I think every time we talk about those things and we get down into that that area of where we're comparing things to something else, it never really comes out.
Yeah, just because something is an exception doesn't mean it's the rule. Like, the Rams are probably the exception to what most teams want to do from a team-building standpoint here. And also, like, Dak Prescott, in my opinion, as a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, hasn't really shown that he is the type of quarterback that will elevate lesser talent around him if they have to go down this Rams path. Like, they need to build a good team around Dak Prescott for them to be good. And, yeah, they've won a lot of regular season games, 12 wins in three straight seasons, but the postseason is where the Cowboys are judged. And this past year, I mean, we talked about this over the weekend, like, defensively is where they failed more so than anything. But still, like, there's still questions about Dak and some of those big moments. And, I mean, he threw a pick six in the game as well in the playoff game. That was sort of a backbreaker. Like, it's just – it's, can you win with Dak Prescott making this kind of money? Jerry Jones seems to think so. As a fan, I don't think so. I'm hoping I'm wrong, but I just, to me, if I was running the Cowboys, which I am not, I would go down the path that Minnesota did, honestly. I would go down that path and say, you know what, Dak, it's been a great 9 years. You've been a great model citizen here for the Dallas Cowboys, but we just got to part our separate ways and try something else, because what they're doing right now hasn't gotten them anywhere close to winning a Super Bowl.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe because of your love of Trey Lance, they may go down that road. I mean, remember, they got Trey Lance on the team. I could see you being in that room saying, look, let's go with Lance. Let's do it. You know, it's funny, though. I think, to me, when people make these comparisons, and it's interesting because Daniel Kahneman, the man who wrote Thinking Fast and Smart, passed away last week. And that book's a wonderful book in terms of really the NFL draft. It's a book that's not about the NFL draft, but it applies to everything about the NFL draft. And Kahneman argues that we have two systems within our brain, the one that thinks fast, the one that thinks slow, you know, where we operate intuitively and voluntarily and effortlessly, and then the other one that is more of a deliberate problem-solving, reasoning, kind of going through it all. Mm-hmm. And one of the biases he talks about, and he talks a lot of biases, about this comparison, this representativeness, which is basically how we make an intuitive leap based our judgments based on how similar things are to one another. And it happens all the time in the draft. You'll see it everywhere, right? Everybody's comparing this player to that player. Well, when you start doing that, you end up going down a road where you're basically ignoring some of the really important issues of the player. And I think when you look at the Cowboys trying to emulate what the Rams are doing, you know, they don't have Aaron Donald at three technique. They have Mekhi Parsons, who's wonderful, but they don't have that. And I think, to me, you know, it's something you have to really take into consideration when you're evaluating players, evaluating teams. There's no two teams alike. There's no two players alike. Everything is independent of one another. You know, I thought yesterday, it's funny, you and I did a show together, and we were talking about North Carolina State, right? Mm-hmm. And we had JVT on the show. And JVT was saying, you know, the number for NC State, they were a 7-point dog to Duke, right?
Yep.
And JVT said it's a great value based on the numerical data that's been collected. But then I thought about what Aristotle said, right? Aristotle says you cannot compare things that have not stayed the same. Well, North Carolina State's not the same, right? They're not. Yeah. So to use any data on North Carolina State is only going to make you make a poor decision. So you have to throw out all the data. And it's the same thing when you're looking at these other teams. They're not the same. Aristotle's right. The only time you can use analytics is when things are not changing. And we live in a league, in a world where things change constantly.
Yeah, I think that's really well put there. And it goes back to, like, as humans, we're pattern-seeking creatures. Like, we want to connect the dots. We want to see, like, hey, like, this was like that, so then this needs to be like this. And that's, like, football's way too, and life is way too dynamic to go ahead and do that. Everything is unique. I do think it's, we'll see what happens with the Cowboys. Like you said, it's probably a non-story, but they're going to go ahead and carry this $55 million cap hit, which has not allowed them to help.
Watch out for Trey Lance. Watch out for Trey Lance.
Come on.
Watch out for Trey Lance. Maybe Jerry loves Trey Lance, and this is what's involved. Who knows?
Come on. You're going to start floating those stories around? All right, real quick here.
Well, I mean.
Go ahead.
They got him on the team. He was the third pick overall in a draft. I mean, you know, they got him for nothing.
Oh, it was a fourth round pick.
This whole notion, This applies, and we'll talk about this now, this applies to the draft. This whole notion that every new player in the draft class is better than any other player, right? Like, okay, Sam Howell gets traded for basically nothing. How much better is Bo Nix than Sam Howell? How much better is Michael Penix than Sam Howell? How much better is Jaden Daniels than Sam Howell? We've seen Sam Howell on pro tape. We haven't seen Jaden Daniels on pro tape, but we don't ever make these comparisons. How much better? Can you measure the better, right? Mm-hmm. Can you? And I'm asking the question. I think it's a fair question to ask. Now, most fans at home would say, you're crazy, Lombardi. They're not, you know, this guy's great. Well, he's great because he's new. He's great because he's new.
Shiny
if you
object.
Look at Michael Penix in Indiana, and compare him to Michael Penix, you know, okay. See, I think to me that's what happens is all we want to do is put on new clothes, new suits, new jackets, and we lose sight of what it is. And I think ultimately that is something that's why the quarterback market has become such a poorly evaluated market, because nobody has the guts to say how much better is this player than that, the new one we're going to draft.
Yeah, and it feels like that's why we're getting all these quarterback classes where there's four or five guys drafted in the first round. And right now over at DraftKings, 4.5 is the total for quarterbacks to be selected in the first round. It's juiced heavily toward the over -200, meaning the expectation is that we're going to get probably five quarterbacks in the first round. Hey, we got five quarterbacks in 2021. Only one of them is on the team that drafted him. Like, it just this thing is
all
tough.
Right, so really, what is DraftKings telling us there? DraftKings is saying to us, really simply, that do you believe Bo Nix or Michael Penix will be drafted in the first round? That's the question that DraftKings is presenting to you.
Yep.
You can say over four. You can say, no, you've got to reduce draft picks to names. It's like this ridiculous notion, well, we gave up a third for the guy. No, fill in who you actually gave up for the player. Fill in who you passed. What was the opportunity cost of trading that draft pick for that player? Nobody goes back and studies that, right? You know, the Giants gave up a 3 for Darren Waller last year. I got ridiculed because I said Waller would rather be a rapper than a tight end. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Right? The New York media got over me. He's retired, okay, from football. What was the cost of that third rounder compared to what they got out of Waller for 1 year? You can't say it was a good trade at all, right?
No.
You can't. You could say it was a great trade in the spring, which is what everybody said because he's so athletic and he's so talented. What's the opportunity cost? So to me, I think you have to constantly look at that and evaluate that. And so what you're saying is Bo Nix going in the first round? Is Michael Penix? If you believe Nix is going in the first round, you play that over number. If you believe, and that's really what your focus and what your concentration on is simply reading about Penix and Nix. Because you're assuming the other four are going.
100%. That does it for this edition of the podcast. Quick housekeeping note, we will have an NFL Win Totals podcast on Thursday that we're going to tape later on here on Monday. So it will be not a fresh pod. So if there's any news that breaks, I'm sure we will get to it in the coming weeks. I'm taking off all the way till April 18th because I'm getting married on Saturday. So it's going to be one hell of a ride.
And he's turning in that Trey Lance MVP ticket too. Don't you kid yourself. He is. I'll see him be at that window.
GM Shuffle Spring Break. Michael's going to the Bahamas. We'll see you guys next week here on the DKN.